There is some things that I sure would love to be able to talk about. So many that I couldn't get through tonight. I guess I'm just going to get started on them. But there is a few things, maybe just a little exhortation or something that I can say that might be able to help some. I wonder if you could turn over to the book of Revelation, and let's just read a little bit here in the book of Revelation and see if we can pick up a thought or two and talk with you just a little bit. You know, I thought I preached pretty strong, but just outside of Fort Knox, Kentucky, there on a Sunday morning, listening to Brother James Bessel preach, I didn't feel so bad. Man, he made it strong and he made it plain concerning his folks and his relatives and everybody else. He was anointed of God, too. But boy, he made it real plain. He said it just like it was. In the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, let's read in the full chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, in the reading of this, I want you to notice something here. The thing that I think to me stands out most of all in this 4th chapter, John says here, when I saw the door open in heaven, the voice said, Come up here. It's obvious here that there is an elevation in the Spirit. Now, there is an elevation in the Spirit, whereas the Spirit says, Come up here. Now, if there is a door open, if there is a door open and we can find the door, then from within that door, there is a voice that says to you and I, Come up here. Come up here. And the thing that really fascinates fascinates me about this fourth chapter, what John said, that immediately I was in the Spirit. Now, I was talking today, and I made this statement. What our problem is here in this church is that we fail to enter into the Spirit. Paul, in his day, he made the statement, he said, I would speak unto you as those that are in the Spirit. Or I would speak unto you as people who are spiritual. But now look at the way that Paul described those who are not spiritual. He said, but I cannot. He said, for you are not spiritual. And the way he described it, he said, ye are yet carnal. And he said, but how did Paul know that they were carnal? Or in what way can you describe a carnal man? What description can you give to a congregation whereby they might understand the difference between carnality and being spiritual? It was very simple the way Paul gave it. He said, there is still among you envy, strife, all kind of debates, malice, backbiting, all of this reasoning and talk. He said, does not this prove that you're not spiritual? Isn't this a positive proof that that is the carnal mind that's hidden with God? Is that spiritual? Is it spiritual for me to think my own thoughts when the Bible tells me that I'm not to lean to my own understanding? Is it being spiritual for me to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, or what I'm going to put on tomorrow? Is that being spiritual? When the Bible very emphatically tells me that I am to take no thought for what I shall eat, no thought for what I shall drink, or what I shall wear, or what I shall put on, that I am to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the desire thereof. He tells me that when I think of making provisions for the flesh to any extent of excessiveness other than the fact of being willing to work and labor that I might have to give, or just for the benefit of providing what is necessitated in life, then he says this is being carnal. It is being carnal. Am I being spiritual when I sit down in my house and I talk about the preacher and I take the preacher apart? Am I being spiritual when I talk about my sister or my brother and I'm taking my brother or sister apart? Am I being spiritual when I sit around and worry about my son and daughter, what they're going to eat, who they're going to marry, what they're going to be, whether they're going to be a barber, or electrician, or whatever they're going to be? Is that being spiritual? No. Is it being spiritual when I stick my nose into everything my daughter and son-in-law does? Is that being spiritual? Is it being spiritual when the son-in-law and the daughter sticks their nose into everything that mother and dad-in-law does, or mother and daddy does? Is that being spiritual? No. It proves that you are yet carnal. Envy, strife. Am I being spiritual when I pine like a baby because I moved out of my hometown? Is that being spiritual? Is all of this being spiritual? How in the world can we ever get together and say that we are spiritual and that we are ready for the things of God? Can it be spiritual when you meet your brother in the morning and you say, boy, I just don't know what I'm going to do. My faith is down. I'm discouraged. I'm nervous. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Is that being spiritual? No. Is it being spiritual when you're worried about having cancer? Worried about losing your mind? Worried about losing your car? Worried about something that somebody has said about you? Or something somebody has thought about you? Is it being spiritual? spiritual, when every time that somebody reproves you or your children, that you jump up and flare up and flame up and begin to do every way except the right way? Is that being spiritual? Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's wrong with the church. They are not spiritual. But now, what is being spiritual? It's not leading to your own understanding, not thinking your own thoughts, but rather having peace. I say this again. Is it being spiritual when the mother grabs the baby and goes out the door to keep from listening to the preacher? Is that being spiritual? You can say amen, it's all right. I said things like that before, so don't feel embarrassed. Now, is it being spiritual when we come to church and we try to convince the preacher that we are with him when we know in our heart that we are hypocrites? Is it being spiritual when we try to convince one another that we are interested in the things of God when we're not interested in anything spiritual at all? No, that's not being spiritual. But when we have love, when we have peace, when we have joy, when we have meekness, when we have long suffering, when we swear to our own hurt, when we look on the things of another, when we esteem others better than ourselves, when we backbite not with our tongues. Now, is that being spiritual? That's being spiritual. When we want to fast, when we want to pray, when we want to study the word, when we come to church hungry and thirsting after righteousness and the things of God, is that being spiritual? When we want to take care of God's bills, God's house, when we want to do something to see the kingdom of God spread out and see souls won to God, is that being spiritual? So many other things that we can say in being spiritual. Is it being spiritual when a mother talks to her daughter all the time and tries to rule over her daughter and try to be the head to her daughter when her husband is ahead? Making trouble and causing trouble to bring the wrath of God on her, is that being spiritual? Mother-in-law, you're nosy. You need to get straightened out. Dad-in-law, you're in the same condition when you do it. Somebody said, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I've got two daughters and I've got son-in-laws and I understand every bit of it. And I understand exactly what you're doing. Some of you mother-in-laws actually spend your time, the Lord is letting me know, gossiping and backbiting and bickering and talking to your sons and to your daughters and daughter-in-laws and everything until you're just a bunch of troublemakers. You keep them tore up all the time. God will visit you for these things. If there's anything God hates, it's for a daddy-in-law or a mother-in-law to stick their nose into the business of a man and wife. And I don't think God despises anything worse than for a woman to sit around and mope and act like she died and act like a little two-year-old kid and pine and pine and pine because she can't sit on mama's doorsteps every morning. God have mercy on anybody doing such things. You're supposed to be happy with your husband. He's supposed to rule over you. You're supposed to forget about mom and dad. If I had a wife like that, I'd take her back to mom and daddy, and I would never go back and get her no more. Anybody that would do things like that, you ain't got a wife. Folks, listen. Do you know that it's a fact? I'm talking about being spiritual. Did you know that it is a fact that when Abraham sent to get the wife for Isaac, that she left her mother and daddy and went with him and lived with his people and never did go back down there with him, folks? You can say amen. It's all right. That's being spiritual. That's the Bible. Did you know it's a fact that the man is supposed to have control of the woman? Now I know I said here the other day, some of you men, I'll tell you what, if I was a woman and I had a man like you, I'd take you back to mom and leave you too. You sit around and molt and pine over mom and daddy like a little two-year-old baby. I'd take you back and I'd say, here, mom and daddy, here he is. I'm going to see if I can find me a husband. I'm telling you the truth. How in the world can people ever live together like that? Can't you just picture a home? Here sits Junior, here sits Sissy, and here sits baby over here, and they're looking to mom and daddy, and mom and daddy's looking to mom and dad. I can understand a little bit of people looking to mom and daddy. But I don't understand these things where you keep mama tore up all the time and daddy tore. And I'll tell you something else. I don't understand a mom and a daddy that is so selfish and so warped up that they'll want their happiness in spite of what the hurt might be to their son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Something wrong with you. You're supposed to swear to your own hurt. You're supposed to want to see that daughter happy and see that home go. I'll tell you what, and you can believe Brother Pike's telling you the truth. You just go on and get in trouble, and one day there won't be no mother-in-law. Now you say, I don't believe that. Well, I happen to know that came to pass in some cases where mother-in-law just kept on sticking her nose in to the affairs of the sons and daughters, and I kept telling them, and wasn't long before there wasn't no mother-in-law. God took her out of the way, and there won't be no daddy-in-law either. Now, and I'm not justifying contrary son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Because some of them just did contrary honor as they be. You couldn't get along with them under no circumstances. And God could take them out of the way too. But I'm going to tell you something. And you remember this. The first thing that God looks at is that he is going to stand with the son-in-law and the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law and dad-in-law. He's going to stand with the boy and the girl to begin with. He isn't going to stand with you, mother-in-law. He isn't going to stand with you, daddy-in-law. He's going to stand with the boy and with the girl. Because he didn't give you a daughter to sit around and keep or a son to keep. He gave you the son and daughter that they might marry somebody. They didn't come to this world to be your son and daughter. They came to this world to marry and multiply and replenish the earth. That's why God put them here. And so they can become man and wife. So you get away from that stuff. Stay away from it. Don't be a troublemaker and trouble the church and trouble the people and trouble everybody else. Because you'll trouble your own home. And God said, I'll trouble them and trouble you. Now, if I get on that subject. I didn't come here and live a plan for that tonight. But you know, I'm talking about being in the Spirit. I wonder tonight, from my heart, I wonder tonight, are we really in the Spirit? Are we really in the Spirit? Listen, children of God. You can't imagine tonight what you're missing. You have no idea tonight what's being taken away from you. How great and how mighty the things are that God's got for you. You just can't imagine tonight. I know that in your mind and your heart that you feel like spiritual things are so far from you that you could never reach it. But you're wrong. They're so close to you. And they're so easy to have. If you can do the things that you're taught to do and obey what God wants you to obey. Do you know one of the greatest dangers there is in the day that we're living in? One of the greatest dangers. I want you to listen to this. The Bible said in the last day that men would be hated. Come on here, say amen. That's right. It said that men would be hated. Is that right? What does hated mean? It means they'd be educated. They think in their head. They work in their head. They preach in their head. Everything that they've done had to do with their head. Men of reason, heady men. Not hardy men, but heady men. In the last days, men would be head, educated. Lovers of piece of land, getting them a little house, getting them a little car, laying up them a little nest egg, having them some fine clothes to wear. Love that more than they love giving to the poor, helping the needy, trying to win souls for God. He said they'd be like that in the last days. Hey, said to be high in mind. High in mind. In other words, they will drive the best car, live in the best house, wear the best clothes, go to the moon. High in mind. Lovers of self, more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. And he said, they shall be despisers of God. They shall be self-willed. Self-willed. How do you know what self-willed means? They shall be self-willed, not God-willed, because they're head. But they'll be self-willed. Got a self-willed. Going to do it their way. Going to do their thing. Now, why are they self-willed? Do you know why? Because the Bible said they despise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Taylor. I'll keep Brother Taylor up here. He can say amen. Now, they despise God. What is God? We can see in the natural that they despise natural government. Never before would people speak evil of the president. Never before would they shoot the president, kill the president. I know that that happened rarely, on rare occasions, but it's got so now that the people are getting afraid to be president. Because they're getting killed. Nobody wants to be president anymore. I understand that Ted Kennedy, is it Ted that's running? I understand he's afraid to become president. Despisers of government. Don't want any control. Why? Because it is a symbolic thing concerning the church. God has placed a fivefold ministry in the church. He placed control of the church. What's the purpose of it? To perfect the saints of God. Why does the devil constantly shoot the ministry? Why does he always want to turn on the ministry? Why is it the woman won't listen to the man and obey the head? Because he's the girl. I'm going to say something. You ladies probably feel like shooting me, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Now, you listen to me, sisters. I love you. Well, listen to me just a minute. The Bible said that the head of Christ is God. Is that Bible? It says that the head of the man is Christ. Is that Bible? And it says the head of every woman is the man. Is that Bible? Now, if Christ, if the Lord Jesus could not get into heaven, if the Lord Jesus could not please God except he was completely obedient and in subjection to his head, then that means to me that the man cannot get into heaven and cannot please God unless he is completely under subjection to Christ, his head. And it means that the woman cannot please God, cannot get into heaven, cannot have salvation unless she is completely subject to her head. Now listen just a minute. Lady, don't you fool yourself. You listen to me tonight. You are not going to heaven. I don't care if you fast. I don't care if you shot the Barbie pins out of your hat. I don't care if you know Revelation. I don't care what you do. You are not going to heaven unless you are perfectly in harmony with your head and perfectly under subjection to your head. said he is the Savior of the body. Now, could Christ have gone into heaven without God? Can a man get into heaven without his head, which is Christ? Can the church get into the Spirit without the head, which is Christ? You would tell me in a minute, no. Well, what makes us believe that a woman can get into the Spirit without her head? She can't do it. It's impossible for a woman to go to heaven without she be under complete subjection to her husband. I know somebody said, well, grace takes care of it. No, it doesn't. There ain't no such grace. No such grace was ever given in the world, or never will be given. The Bible said, wives, obey your husband. Reverence your husband. Honor your husband. Is that right? Is that right? Why? Because he is the Savior of the body. Why? Because the head is always the Savior of the body. Women cannot go to heaven without obeying their head. There's no way. Now you can have a fit, you can pitch a fit, you can slam the door, you can beat them with pillows, and you can knock out the window lights, you can break the dishes. But when you get through, if you ever get to heaven, you're going to have to go right back, put your arms around him, and say, honey, I played the fool. Forgive me and help me and strengthen me that I will never do such a foolish thing again. And I know some of you, you say, I die and go to hell before I do it. And you're right. You're exactly right. You will. You'll die and go to hell. That's right. Now, before some of you would put your arms around your husband and tell him you're strong, you would die and go to hell. And if you went and told him you're strong, you'd go, say, I'm sorry, I'm not. And you just do that because you'd be afraid you'd die and go to hell. But that don't stop living. You've got to obey. Why do you have to obey your husband? Why? I'm trying to get over a report about the church. Now, why do you have to do it? You've got to do it. Why do you have to do it? Because he's the Savior of the body. And because there's no way that God will look upon you otherwise. Let me ask you this question. Was the Lord Jesus Christ made for the glory of God? Who can tell me whether he was or not? Whose glory was Christ made for? Tell me this. Does the Bible say that man was made for Christ's glory? Is that Bible? Does the Bible say that the head of every woman is the man, and that the man or the woman was made for the man's glory? If Christ was made for God's glory, then there's nothing he can do but to glorify him and submit to it and become one with it. If man was made for the glory of Christ, there's nothing that he can do but to glorify Christ in his deeds, in his words, in every way, and submit to it. And if the woman was made for the glory of the man, God expects her to submit to it, to love it, to reverence it, to respect it, because she was not made for the glory of God. Woman was absolutely not made for the glory of God. God never made a woman for the glory of God. He didn't do it. I told you, you felt like shooting me probably when I got through. But it's a true fact, God did not make woman for his glory. He made man for his glory. He made man to serve God. He made woman to serve man. And he made woman for the glory of the man. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, I can't help it. If you don't believe it, it's still the word of God anyway. It's still true. Boy, them men, they're right on the trail. I tell you, tell you what, I see some of your hands going up because you know what kind of problem you got at home. And you're saying, glory to God, glad old Brother Potts preaching that. That way I don't have to see it. Well, I'm shot at anyway, so it don't make no difference. But honestly, brethren, this is the truth, so help me God. I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't lie to my sisters because I love them. But woman is absolutely out of her place. She is unruly. She is contrary. She is altogether gone contrary to the Word of God. Why? Because she is typical of a backslid contrary church. That's what's the matter with her. She is typical. She is typical of the church out of sauce with God. Look at the church. Will people obey the preacher? Will people do what the preacher tells them? No. Why? Because they are despisers of God. Why does the woman do like she does? She despises her God, which is her husband. Adam, thou shalt rule over him. He is her God. When she won't submit to him, when she won't conform to him, then she's in trouble because he is her government. Did you know that the scriptures are written to where it protects the man in the home? Did you know that? Did you know that for a woman to have salvation by faith in the Word, she's got, there ain't no faith of salvation except in the Word. And for her to have faith, which is salvation by the Word, she's got to obey the Word. And the Word is wrote for the benefit of her husband. Listen, it said, wives, obey your husband in all things. Now you say, how can I get to heaven? By believing what I just said. How do I believe it? By proving it by your deeds. See, God wrote it for his benefit. Faith in what I just said, he wrote it the word would be for the benefit of the man, to show the church and to show Christ. Wives, obey your husband in all things. Do you believe that that's scripture? Yeah. Well, you're going to obey it? Yeah, okay, you can go to heaven. That's faith in the Lord. Wives, honor your husband. Are you going to honor him? Yeah, slap him with a pillar upside the head. Wives, reverence your husband. Somebody said, hey, let me write a letter and they say, reverence so-and-so. Reverence so-and-so. Did you know that you got a reverend in the home? You come in and you look at your husband and he's reverend. Reverence. Good morning, reverend. You can do it. It's a little hard. But I'm telling you the truth. So help me God. If you ever get to heaven, you've got to love. I'm talking about being spiritual now. Now, I'm talking about, Brother Brown said, the ABCs. I'm talking about being spiritual. I'm trying to tell you why that we are not spiritual. I'm trying to tell you where our problem is. How in the world can we go anywhere else? Or how can we have the gift? Or how can we help anybody when we don't even obey the Bible? Listen. You people are just one all over creation everywhere. Won't give a dollar to the work of God. Won't help nobody. Won't attend meetings. Won't come together with the youth. Always gossiping, backbiting, bickering, silent thought. Do you think you're going to heaven? Do you actually believe that God is such a God that he's going to take people like that into heaven? Let me tell you something. Just the same way that something was said the other day, if you ever got to heaven and God could say anything, he'd probably send you back down here and say, we don't need them up here either. If they're troublemakers down there, they're troublemakers up here. Some of us sit down, Brother Pike, God wouldn't do that, but God will do that. When Samuel prayed and begged God to spare Saul, God said, Samuel, I'm through with Saul. A lot of times the preacher will beg God to spare you. And God said, I'm through with you. I'm through with you. Did you know that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven? Did you know whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven? Did you know that whatever you do to us as the body of the Lord, you've done it to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know that everything that you've ever said, everything that you've ever done, every mistake that you've ever made in sin against the body of Christ is wrote down in heaven as a transgression against God? And you'll have to pay for it, either in this world or in the world to come. If you are a child of God, you'll pay for it here. Through one heartache lying for another, and give you set for fire. And if you are not a child of God, you can go right on prospering without any chastisement to meet God in His wrath of the judgment and be turned into hell for your wrongs. You are going to have to submit to the ministry, to the fivefold ministry of God. I don't care if you say you are a prophet, an evangelist, a preacher, whatever you are. You're going to submit to the fivefold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the government in the earth that you're going to submit to. Somebody said, I ain't going to do it. Well, you're going to hell for not doing it. Now you watch what I'm telling you. You are going to hell, not only to hell, but God is going to stick you in the hot water of troubles and perplexities and bewilderments in this world until you'll wish that you could die. When the devils and demons get through with you, you'll be glad to even get a Baptist preacher to come and pray for you. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, you know why you don't believe it? Because you've never been down that trail. But I've been down the trail. I know that that's true. I can recall a time in my life when I was in such misery, I was in such condition, I said, oh God, send somebody to tell me about Jesus. And here popped up a Baptist preacher that didn't hardly know his right hand from his left. I didn't care if he was Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever he was. All I wanted just to feel like he knew Jesus and he talked with me. I was glad to listen to him. I was glad to submit to him. I never sat and listened to a Baptist preacher in my life. I've been so glad to hear him preach. Brother, when God gets through with you, he knows how to make you submit. He knows how to make you stop that little dance you got running and twisting and going from place to place with your mouth flying open and your tongue going in and out like a window shutter. That's right, your lips up and down like a seesaw. He knows how to stop that. That's why John said a crooked generation, a generation of vipers, their tongue's always going. Everywhere they go, they leave a crooked trail. And the bite's just as deadly as a rattlesnake. You listen now. Somebody said, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I do. That's why I preach it. I love it. See, when you preach the kind you like. When I preach the kind I like. I have to listen to you. You have to listen to me. And I say, why? Because the Bible said, submit yourself one to another. So while I preach, you've got to submit yourself to me. I am sincerely convinced of God that a person that is a troublemaker will be a troublemaker wherever they go because they do not have God. A troublemaker does not have God. A troublemaker has never been born again. Uh-oh, somebody will pout for the next 3 days and won't come back for another week now. I get to preach to you, some of you, about once every week or two because you're going to pout about 3 or 4 days of it or 3 or 4 months of it, and then you'll get back for another sermon. But there's one thing about it. If you just keep coming, you'll get a pinch to the pinch to the pinch, and after a while, you'll be able to grow. I love you. I want to help you. But I want to tell you the truth. God don't need a bunch of troublemakers, and if you think you're going into heaven like that, you might as well get straightened out because you're not. People who stick their nose into their sons and daughters' business, and sons and daughters that stick their nose in the mom and dad's business, you might as well forget about heaven because you ain't got no part of it. Wives that want to slap their husband around, curse and snort, and try to make him do opposites to them, you ain't got no part of it. I've heard women, they say, no, I ain't going to obey my husband. I ain't never seen a man I'd do that to. You ever heard anything like that? I am. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You go ahead. With your little stubbornness, you go ahead. The Bible said you'd be hid anyway. You go ahead, and God will turn you into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And when you forget the word of God, he said, beware ye that forget me, lest I tear you into pieces. They'll pick you up in a wreck somewhere on the highway, or they'll pick you up somewhere, something bad will be happening to you, or they'll have you over yonder somewhere, and cancer or TB or something eat you up. Because you wouldn't obey God. Now, how can I obey God? Obey your husband. Obey them that have rule over you. Who's got rule over you? Adam, rule your wife. He's got rule over you. Obey him. Obey the minister. Obey the fivefold minister. Now, the Bible said that John was in the Spirit. Now, are you in the Spirit? Are you examining yourself? The Bible said to see if you're in the faith of the Word, which is the Word of Spirit. Are you in the Spirit? They were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. A lot of people say, Brother Mike, I wish that I had the gift of healing. I wish that I had the gift of discernment. You haven't even come as far enough to get the gift of obedience. How can you have a gift of the Spirit of healing of anything else when you haven't even got the gift of salvation? You haven't even got the gift of paying attention, of obeying the ministry. Look, listen just a minute. You know how John said we know that the others are wrong? This sounds a little bit selfish, don't it? And sounds a little bit conceited. But you know how he said he knew the rest of them was wrong? He said, brethren, we know they're in darkness because we're in light. He said, we know you're wrong because we know we're right. That's a pretty good way of putting it. He had a lot of confidence in the life he lived. Is that right? Do you know, listen, do you know how that you're going to have discernment? It's when you get a pure heart. You know how you're going to see God? When you get a pure heart. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. This carnal-minded bunch of denominational people that's sitting around expecting God to come riding back on a cloud somewhere and lift them up and take them off like they're going off in some kind of a plane ride or catch away in some kind of flight or something. Well, you're just as carnal as you can be. The Bible said that no man shall see God and live. That means that your carnal ideas, your carnal thoughts, your carnal ways, your carnal desires, every carnal ambition that you've got has got to die. Amen. Every one of them has got to die. No man can see God and live. The Bible said God is going throughout the earth looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their hand. The Bible said the pure heart shall see God. God is a spirit, and God is a revelation. The only way you can see a spirit God is through means of revelation. That's the only way you'll ever see God. And you've got to be pure in heart to have revelation. You can't have revelation unless you're pure in heart. You've got to be pure in heart. God is a spiritual revelation. He's a spirit that's moving. And you've got to be pure in heart. And when you get sweet like a dove and gentle like a dove and full of the love of God and get all of the bitterness, all of the malice, all of the gossip, all of the hatred, all of the fault finding, all of the buying, selling, and wondering, all of these things out of you. And you just get full of the love of God and full of the sweetness of God and get a clean, pure, loving heart, void of offense toward man and God. Can't find nobody that you're upset at. Nobody that you've got a fault against. Then you get in fellowship with God. God is present. Paul said he's above you. He's in you. He's through you. He's everywhere. If two or three come together in his name, there. He said he's not very far from any of you. So he's above you, he's in you, he's through you. He's the Spirit. He fills heaven and earth. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. God is ever present, but you can't contact him because your iniquities have separated between you and the eternal Spirit. But when you get a pure heart, then your spirit intermingles with his spirit. and you become rich, and you become spiritual, and you become full of understanding and full of visions. You have discernment. Just one person can just walk up like that, and you're so pure in heart, so clean, that when they walk up, if there's any kind of spirit on them, it's just like a shadow that falls across the trail or the path of the sunlight. It comes up and you feel it, and you know there's a devil on them. And then you just kind of evaluate for a few minutes, and you know what kind of devil it is. Why? Because you're pure in heart. And when that thing comes up, it's contrary. It's a contrary nature. You can tell it by the nature that you got. Your nature's of Christ, just when that thing is close to you, you can tell it's contrary. You discern it immediately. A lot of times we come in church, and maybe the Bible says when one member suffers, they all suffer. We'll come in church, and maybe a brother's sitting over here, and a brother's sitting over here. And maybe this brother that's sitting over here, maybe come in, maybe have a clean heart. He come in, and all of a sudden he feels, the preacher starts preaching, and he feels real critical. He feels real resentful. Now, instead of searching his heart, and instead of realizing that somewhere in that congregation, that there's somebody in there that's got that kind of spirit on, that he could stand up and say, wait just a minute, the Lord just revealed something to me, that the person he has got such and such. But instead of doing that, you know what he does? He gets in the hot trough too. He sits there, and after a while he resents what the preacher says, and the devil comes off on him, and both of them are in that kind of condition. Like Brother Brandon said one time, a dark shadow over here and a dark shadow over here, and they're pulling one to another trying to strengthen each other. Is that right? Take a good dog that don't have any fleas. Clean him up real good. And bring another dog that's full of fleas. That dog that don't have any fleas. Don't you know you can tell whether another dog had fleas or not? Put him on the close of that dog. If that dog could talk, after a while he'd start scratching. He'd say, what's wrong with me? He said, there's a dog and he's got fleas. You understand what I'm saying? But if he just sits there and scratches and scratches, and after a while nothing gets on him, scratches, and after a while he's got about two dozen on him, well, both of them full of fleas. Ain't no need for him to discern nothing because he's just as full of fleas as anybody else. I went into a service one night, and I sat down in the back, and all of a sudden I felt something moving around. And I said, wait just a minute. I told the preacher, I said, there is a person here that is warring with a spirit of insanity. I said, there's a spirit of insanity here warring against an individual. And a man jumped up and said, it's me. He said, he took my daddy to the insane asylum and said, ever since, this thing's about to drive me wild. You understand what I'm saying? Being spiritual. I don't mean that you get up and say, I got a pain in my back here. Somebody must have a pain in their back. I'm talking about that. Most likely you got a pain and ain't nobody else got one in your back. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying that infirm spirits can actually be discerned and be felt. I don't mean to get up here and put on a show and intellectually try to figure out somebody and try to figure out whether they're looking just right, you know, and what you think about them, scrutinize them. I ain't talking about nothing like that. Like Brother Dennis said one time, he's going to figure them out. He saw some other people deserting him, so he got that fella up. And he was trying to figure him out, and he looked at him and he said, you got some money in the bank. But it didn't work. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about actually having the Spirit of God. It's really going to happen. Like I said to you the other night, when I told some of them that this man across the street was going to die, I saw him in a vision. The man across the street over here, I saw him die. And I thought the vision had a twofold purpose because I saw this man down here that Jerry reached from over at this particular place. Over at this particular place, I saw this man. So I went to Ms. Mobley and I said, Ms. Mobley, there's going to be a death in your family. But I didn't tell it was a brother because I didn't want to turn up. So I told Brother Taylor and I told my wife and I told Brother Zell and some of the others. I told them who it was. There was a man across the street over here in the old house. So in just a month or so after that, As a matter of fact, it was just as I was leaving going to Kentucky this time. They was having the man's funeral, or he just died. The man just died. The other night, when I was standing here, and I kept feeling a spirit out there in the audience. And finally, I turned around to a certain section, and I said, right here, in this section, there's two people. And there was a spirit on him, and he's really called the drugs to the band. The man came to me later and confessed that the spirit was exactly that way and just as bad as I'd said it was. But the woman didn't. Not only that, I'll tell you something, she ain't gonna come. You know why? Because it's a self-righteous devil that's got a hold of it, and she ain't gonna come. But I'll tell you one thing, the man that did come got the spirit off of him, and he's clean of it. But the people that won't confess are going to die and go to hell. There ain't no way to get around. You defile the temple of God, God will destroy it. You can puff and pack and run off and do what you want to, but you're going to die and go to hell. Now, I'm talking about being in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. When we come to church, why don't we get in the Spirit? Why don't we come together praising God? Over in Little Bethlehem the other night, I went in there and some of those people, some of them, Brother Frank, had mini skirts on and stood up and took communion with mini skirt on. But did you know, in spite of all of that, there were still people that were so thirsty and hungry for the understanding of God that the anointing just flowed down, just free. You just feel it bubbling in your soul. And we're supposed to be real spiritual. And you can't hardly even get you can't hardly get a little sip of water out of all you put together. I know that didn't sound right. Why are we so spiritual? We're not. That's what the problem is. But folks, there is gifts in this church. There is gifts in the life of some people here. But you just won't leave off gossiping, fighting, bickering, backbiting, relatives, friends, neighbors, sons, daughters, and in-laws, and outlaws, and every kind of thing. You just won't leave them off long enough to be like Jesus. You fuss and feud and fight over a dollar and worry about whether or not somebody's going to jip you or take $10 away from you. Or I tell you what, you act like a bunch of babies. When are we going to grow up? When are we going to get in the Spirit? When are we going to learn something? That this Friday night, I believe it is. There's supposed to be some Baptist folks coming here. I don't know how many. The man said it was at least 30 that had left another preacher and was looking for a church home. Now, I can understand Baptist folks looking for another church home. But it's bad when Pentecostal people get to looking for another church home. That's bad. You either got one or two things. Either the shepherd has played the hypocrite, or either you got a bunch of backslidden people that won't listen to nobody. It's one way or the other. That's right. Because Pentecost is right. Whether you believe it or not, it's right. The Holy Ghost is right. I want you to stand with me. I just felt like saying these few things tonight. While I was gone, we had a lot of riffraff, a lot of this and that. Folks, listen. You won't know what I'm saying when I say it, but I know what I'm saying and why I'm saying it. I just hope you can understand. Brother Pye can't go around and prophesy things to people just because somebody wants me to prophesy something to them that's convenient for them. I can't do that. God didn't call me to do that. Now, there is some people that can do that. A lady not too long ago said, you bring $10, I'll give you a $10 prophecy. You bring $50, I'll give you a $50 prophecy. Well, I ain't got none. I ain't got no prophecies unless he gives them to me. I don't run that kind of business. But I do tell you one thing. I can prophesy to you if you are hungry for God and looking for something and God's got something for you. If you come looking, he'll give you something, just like the man today. But this private prophecy where I'm to prophesy something for your convenience because you belong to the Lonely Heart Club or something, I can't do that. I can't do that. I told you you wouldn't understand what I say, but I do. I love you, and I want to help you. You just have to try to understand. That's as plain as I can say it. God's doing something. He's doing something. Somebody said to me the other day, real arrogant life. Somebody always talking about God going to do something. I'm tired of that. I thought to myself, that's good. What you need to do is get your heart straightened out with God, because you're in a backslidden condition. Troublemaker. A backslidden condition, wandering around making trouble, vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. No, God ain't going to do nothing. God's already doing something. God's already doing something. He's doing it in a great way. And what it is, you're too blind to see it. It's tremendous what He's doing. But I predict that this coming year, He's going to make known to some people some things that He's doing, and make them to know that they've been doing some things that He didn't like too. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And somebody said, if you got a word for me, I got more than a word, I got a whole book for you. The Bible said, eat the whole book. I want to give you a word from the Lord, inspired word, not only with the preaching, the prophecy, visions, revelation, whatever it might be. But I want you to get spiritual. I want to get some spiritual leadership. I want to get somebody that can help me, somebody that can stand with me, somebody that's not afraid to say, yea, thus saith the Lord. And if one thing about you, sure cannot say, yea, thus saith the Lord, if it ain't thus saith the Lord. You better be sure you don't. But we need some people that can say, yea, thus saith the Lord. Somebody said, well, ain't nobody like that. Well, the church is in bad shape. Now he said, well, I don't believe there's any prophets. Well, I do. I met some of them. God's got prophets. He said in the body prophets. There's prophets living today. Real God called prophets. There's prophets today. The Bible said, believe my prophets and you'll prosper. Not only is there prophets, there is difference in prophets. There are definitely differences. I know, you hear me say a lot of times, I say there's no such thing as a major and a minor prophet, because the Bible don't give that terminology. I know men use that terminology, and that's all right. I understand what they mean, but it's not Bible terminology. But I believe in Bible terminology. And the way I understand, there is what we call, according to the Bible, prophets. And then there is what the Bible calls great prophets. The Bible said a great prophet is risen up among us. There is prophets and there is great prophets. But you can be sure of one thing. In the world today, God has got some prophets. They're in the world. Let's sing a little chorus together. Moses said one time, I would that all of God's people were prophets. The Bible said if a man tells something and it come to pass, he said, fear that Christian. Somebody say amen. He said if a man tells something and it come to pass, he said, fear that Christian. I thought Jimmy shake his hand or shake his head. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, fear that prophet. Let's sing a little chorus together. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. I'm trying to help you. That's why I tell you these things. Now, I don't like to get into your family affairs. I'd rather you run. But if I'm going to have to be the counselor and you're going to bring them to me anyway, I'm going to tell you what I think about it. That's one thing I think that you'll learn to do, and that's keep your family affairs at home and settling home unless you mean business. Because if you come to me, I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you just exactly the way the Bible says it, without fear of faith. I'm not going to pet daddy, I'm not going to pet mom, I'm not going to pet brother, sister, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, mama, I'm not going to twist the word of God up for you. I'm going to tell you just like it is. Now, you can love me on those bases, or as Paul said, I'll tell you the truth, I become your enemy, you can hate me, but that's what I'm going to tell you. Because I got to stand before God one day, and I don't want nothing twisted up when I stand there. If you're a troublemaker, I'm going to look you right in the white of the eyes and tell you that you're a troublemaker. If you're a Christian, you serve God, I'm going to tell you. If you've got a temper, I'm going to tell you. If you're a backslid, I'm going to tell you. If you've got a spirit on you, I'm going to tell you. If you're lazy, I'm going to tell you. If you're a good worker, I'm going to tell you. I think it's time to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a
ago. This was back even before the brethren came with your lives. And I have problems like this with different ones all the time. If somebody comes to me to counsel about marriage problems, now I have these problems a lot of times. They come to me, and I try to help them as best I might. But they was asking me some things, and I told them in love. I said a woman's place is at home, not over to her mom's. She needs to stay at home. Your daddy's place is at home. His place ain't over to mom's. He needs to stay at home. And I told her, just like it was, I believe that when daughter stays at mom's or son stays at daddy's, you ain't got nothing but trouble, because mom is going to be sure to puff daughter up. I don't know why they do it, but they do it. Mama, she just got to puff daughter up and tell daughter how to handle her husband. And her husband, inasmuch as he didn't marry mom, he ain't going to get along with the daughter because he didn't marry mom. Daddy married mom, not the son-in-law. See, so he don't want to live with mom. He might not like the way mama does things. He wants his wife to do the way he wants to do. So I told them they need to stay at home. And I tell you the same thing. Daughters need to stay home with their husbands. And if they don't, you're never going to have a home. You're going to have trouble. I said the other day to some of our precious brethren here that are precious brethren. They live in the Carolinas. Some of them live in Texas. I believe Brother John James, mother and daddy in Texas. Brother Taylor, I told him this, over in Illinois. People from all around the United States are here at the Tabernacle of Worship. But I told him, I said, you can't go home every Easter and every Christmas Day and every Mother's Day and Daddy's. That's the silliest thing I've heard of in my life. Somebody has a fit because Papa turned 45. And Daddy didn't turn a fit and get him something for his 45th birthday. That's it. And when Christmas comes, you got to buy everybody from Aunt Lucy to Uncle John a present, or the wife she'll have a fit. That's it. That's foolishness. Mother's Day and Daddy's Day and Brother's Day and Sister's Day and Washington's Day and Lincoln's Day, my land fee day, and all kind of days. Why, that'd break a millionaire if you just kept on, kept on, kept on, kept on. That's silly. You need to forget about birthdays. The Bible said you esteem one day above another. He said, I'm a flea day. Forget about them. We don't belong to them kind of things. You supposed to forget about them things. I say, you don't think I ought to give my daddy nothing? Boy, you can't only live with some women if you don't get their daddy and mama something every time they think you ought to. No, listen. It's all right to get mother something. I'm glad you love your mother. I'm glad you love your daddy. I believe you ought to. Parents ought to love. But I don't believe nobody ought to love daddy and mama enough to run around and not obey their husband or live with their wife. I don't believe you ought to love them like that. That's contrary to God. You love them better than you love God. If you want to give your mother something, that's good. If you want to give your daddy something, that's good. If you want to give your little boy something. But don't wait for no birthdays and pitch birthday parties. Go give them something because you love. Forget about birthdays. What in the world are you giving daddy a birthday card for because he's 45 years old? What's that got to do with it? You could have seen one in the middle of the year. He'd appreciate it just as well. You don't have to be 45. Give me 43 and a half. You understand what I mean? All of those are Catholic pagan practices. That's what they are. We need to get away from those things. I'm going to say this. You know, having been out on the road, I didn't know when breakfast coming. I didn't know when dinner coming. I didn't know when supper coming. And you might think that I'm exempt for this too. I didn't know when Monday and Tuesday come. I just know I was out on the road somewhere. I didn't know what was the third day, the 14th or December or January. As a matter of fact, I'm ashamed to say it, but I'd say, babe, is this, what year is this? And I know it was hard. When I come out here, we started digging these brethren. I know that I just got to go to why, but I didn't mean to do that. We go to work in the morning. I never did say knock off for breakfast or dinner or supper or that. And I saw some of them, they get so miserable, they get so restless. It'd be 12 o'clock, and I think, well, what's the matter with that fellow? What's the matter with him? And I keep watching him. He'd be restless. He'd be walking. He'd be pacing. And I think, well, what's the matter? Way after a while, he'd come out. He had a bike. Do you know it's 1 o'clock? But you know, finally they got over that and they realized it really was, you know, not the right thing to do. But don't worry about that. Breakfast or dinner or supper. We're not preachers like that. If you get hungry, go home and eat. It don't have to be breakfast. Like the other day, I went home and I said, I want some breakfast. Oh, I got upset because it was 5:30 in the evening. But really and truly, I just believe in eating when you get hungry. I used to get my wife up in the middle of the morning. But you know, that's the way we're supposed to be. If in the middle of the morning I want to eat, then I want to eat. I don't care what time it is, I'm hungry. We're not supposed to be creatures of time. Like I said today, somebody was trying to figure it out. Aunt was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure it out. Frank was trying to figure it out. We was all confused about what time we supposed to start church because we switched times so much. I said, this thing is confusing to me. I said, in the olden days, they got up at daylight and went to bed at dark. It didn't make no difference whether it was winter or summer. They never get confused. But now we can't figure it out. We don't know when 5 o'clock comes, 6 o'clock. They switch things about so much, so you just don't ever know. I want us just to be one big happy family that loves God. Eat when you're hungry. Buy for daddy when you want to. Go visit mama when you feel like God will be satisfied with it. Don't just go every time there's a holiday or something. Don't do that. Don't get killed on the highway doing such a foolish thing. Every time mama comes to see your daddy, don't stand on your head because your husband's been out of work 3 days that week and think they're going to find out about your poverty and he ain't going to be a hero in their eyes. When you come in, say, daddy, times are rough. You want to help us a little bit? Give us a helping hand, daddy. If he's ever been down that road, he'll help you. If he ain't ever been down that road, that's a good time to put him down that road. He'll help you. That's the way I see it. Can we sing Amazing Grace again? You say, are you trying to be a comic? No. I'd just rather see you laugh in front. I'm just trying to get you to receive what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the truth. It is the truth, so help me God. It's the truth. We need to get out of ritualistics, folks. We need to get out of coming to church just on Sunday. Not coming back the next time. We need to come every time. Love God every day. Serve God every minute, every hour, all the time. Love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. Every time. We need to get out of this old thing and say, I think I'll give God 10%. I think I'll give God $10. Forget about that. Just say, Lord, you said labor that I might have to give. Lord, whatever I got, that's what I'm going to give. Oh, Brother Ted come out the other night. Somebody said something about being hungry. Ted said, well, I got $5. That's all I got. He took his last $5. How many was it? Oh, I'm cutting short, $10. He had, was it $10? $9. But anyway, he took his last $9 and he gave it. And I stood there and I thought, boy, your daddy-in-law and mom-in-law's over yonder. You don't have any work. And here you're taking the last $9 you've got. Now, I thought that was pretty good. I did. I really think that's pretty good. Now, when a man's willing to do that, that's the way it ought to be. Let's sing that song again.
Let me sing the song. And when the
trying to help you and make you live. But the Lord Jesus, according to the Bible, was led as the lamb to the slaughter. And you are his body, and God expects you to be killed all the day long. And that by the ministry, as it killed out the old man, to bring new life into your heart. I want you to bow your heads with me. I appreciate your reverence and patience. Come on up, Steve. I believe he's wanting to dedicate his little fellow again. Might be another newcomer that would like to be dedicated, or the mother that would like to dedicate it. If you would, bring it up and we'll dedicate it. Take just a few minutes here and pray over Steve's little baby. I really appreciate Stevie, Sister Deanna. I appreciate your little child here. God's been good to them and blessed them in every way. Stevie's been real faithful. He's tried to help us in so many ways and so many times. He's been a real man all the way. And he wants to dedicate his little baby tonight. Let's pray and ask God to help him. And you might not think this makes a lot of difference, but it does. When you give a child to God, it means that God watches over it, and God helps it, and God takes care of it in a time of trouble. You know what? Listen, when we come together next time, one of us might be missing. When we come together next time, one of us might be missing. I trust that there isn't anybody that will be missing. I trust and believe that God will help us. But it's come to me twice tonight. See, that we ought to perk up a little bit. That we ought to perk up in God a little bit. See, because there is a possibility that when we come together next time, one of us could be missing. So let's pray that we're not. It would hurt me real bad if one of us was missing. It could be me, it could be you, it could be anyone else. But we really need to perk up in the Lord, not to be overconfident in ourselves. The Bible says, don't be high-minded in fear, lest the promise of entering into his rest you seem to come short of. Fear. See, don't be overconfident and say, well, I know that I can. I know that I will. Because that's the way the Jews did it. But don't do that. Just say, Lord, God of heaven, I'm wretched, miserable, nothing. Have mercy on me. Lord, please don't let me be lost. Please help me. Please give me faith. Because, Lord, somebody said, but I know. No, you don't. You just think you know. No, you don't. It don't work like that. Somebody said, you've got to be like that. No, that's altogether wrong. You just got a head full of religion, and you need a heart full of salvation. Father, Lord of heaven, as we pray over this little child, I pray, Lord, that you would bless Phoebe, and that you would bless Phoebe, and this precious little thing, Lord, that's in his arms. Right now, Heavenly Father, I feel Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel you present here, the anointing of the Lord, as I dedicate this little child to you. Father, you gave him to Stevie. Stevie, Indiana, gives him back to you. Lord, we dedicate him to you for your service, this little child tonight. Take it, Lord, feed it. Whenever it's hungry, Lord, keep it warm whenever it gets cold. No, Lord, make its enemies thine enemies. Lord, clothe it when it needs clothing. Lord, when fear and perplexities and bewilderments, Lord, so the storms of life come, comfort its heart. Be a comforter to it. Help it. Watch over it. For Christ's sake, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up with me. Father, Lord of heaven, God, as we gather together here, just for a few moments, I ask for your presence, Father. I ask that you search our hearts. I ask that every person here, Lord, find real, genuine, heartfelt salvation. Don't let anybody be missing. Father, three times tonight, you've dealt with them. three times tonight, at least, about this thing. Father, that somebody might be missing when we come together next time. And I don't want to put fear in the hearts of the people. I don't want to do that, Jesus, because you said, fear not, neither let the heart be troubled. But I do know, Lord, that there is a danger with the wiles of Satan. And Lord, that he would try to take my life. He would try to take these brethren's lives. But I'm asking in the name of the Lord and his kindness, watch over me, watch over my loved ones, my friends, my neighbors, my enemies. Help them, save them. Watch over my congregation, my people that are here, my brethren, my sisters. Help them to know I love them. I don't want to offend them, Jesus. But I'm trying to tell them the truth. And oh Lord, tonight, help them not to be bitter. Help them not to say things about their message and about the sermon. Help them not to go off and discuss these things to their own hurt. But help them to swear to their own hurt and swallow these things down, Father. Lord, and apply them to their heart. Dear God, that you might have mercy on them, might help them. And don't let one of us come up missing in the next service. Be kind to us, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them. Come back in the news.